Estás escuchando Bon Radio. Bon Radio. El máster en inglés profesional te ofrece este programa.
Hello, everybody. Hello there, and welcome to the Drive Time Show. How are you today? How are you today? How are you? We got a nice show today. We have lots to come. What are we going to do? We're going to look at the top five list, everybody. The return of the Drive Time top five and the top five countries. Top five countries with the most forest. A strange list. You know, we've done 1,400 shows, so what can I say, right? We've got time for everything. So the top five countries with the most forest, everybody. Spain is not on the list. But who is? Well, I'll tell you. I'll tell you later on. Also, our history section, a big day in the history of Chile. Or as I used to say, Chile. But yeah, Chile, right? Chile. So we'll talk a little bit about Chile. It's Independence Day, everybody. And also, the anniversary of the founding of the city of Santiago. And then a couple hundred years later, the independence from Spain. Also, the birthday of Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, everybody. So we'll talk a little bit about him. One of the most popular presidents of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. Also, some facts. A very interesting fact about camels. Finally, por fin. Yeah, I know. Finally, some facts about camels. Something you can relate to, right, Tino? Yeah, today, did you know that Saudi Arabia actually imports camels from a surprising location outside of the Middle East? Where does Saudi Arabia get their camels? This is true. This is true. I'm going to tell you. You have to stay tuned to find out. It's going to be interesting. Also, we're going to look at Cadbury. Right? Cadbury chocolate. We're going to take a look. We're going to go behind the brand and have a look at the history of the Cadbury company. Also, some strange news about potatoes. There's time for everything, everybody. What a mix of content on the show today. Oh, my gosh. What a treat, right? Let's get it started. My name is Kyle Miller, and welcome to Drive Time.
Welcome to Drive Time with Kyle Miller. Kyle
Everybody, welcome to the Drive Time Show. Welcome. Thanks for tuning in and deciding to spend a little time with us today on this Tuesday afternoon. It's a nice day today, isn't it, Tino? It's a nice day. The weather's good. It's not so cold. It's good, you know, and we have, we have a lot of people writing in already, a lot of people participating, and lots going on. So here we are. We're going to get things started with an interactive section. As we always do, we'll begin with the Twitter translation.
Twitter translation.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the Twitter translation. This is the part of the show where I give you a sentence in Spanish, and you write in. You tell me the sentence in English on Twitter, and you see how well you do. And later on, un poco más tarde, right? A little later on, I will give you the correct response, and I will critique your answers live on the radio. That's right. Now, if you want to participate, Tino, sir, how can they find me on Twitter?
Tuiteos, arroba IM Kyle Millar, o lo que es lo mismo, arroba IM Kyle Millar.
All right. I'm Kyle Miller. It's true. It's true. Yeah, IM Kyle Millar. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Salí con las manos vacías.
Hay mucha crisis.
Es que salí con las manos vacías. It's true. It's true, Tino. Salí con las manos vacías. This one is always tough for me. Siempre me cuesta decir eso en español, ¿eh? Con las manos. I always say los manos. Because people say, oh, Spanish is easy. If it ends in an O, it's masculine. But then you say, you know, you say, el problema. You know, se dice, la problema. Ah. Right? La mano. No se dice, el mano. Although, hey, if I were inventing the language, if they gave me authority, which they have not done, to modify the language, I would say, el mano. And I would say, a partir de ahora, hay que decir, el mano. But no. I have no authority. The Royal Academy does not accept my petitions, folks, unfortunately. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Salí con las manos vacías. Tell me how to say that in English. We'll talk about it later on in the show. But for now, let's go ahead into the...
The Warm-Up Gym.
All right, everybody, it's time for the warm-up gym. Wow. Some pretty intense music. I'm going to give you the sentence in Spanish, and you tell me the sentence in English, right? You know how this works, right? Ya sabes.
Siempre igual.
It's always the same. All right, okay. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Siento que perdieras tanto dinero. Siento que. I'm sorry you lost so much money. I'm sorry. Siento que perdieras tanto dinero. I'm sorry you lost so much money. Number two. Dime lo que estás pensando. Tell me what you're thinking. Hey, tell me what you're thinking. Oye. Tell me what you're thinking. Dime lo que estás pensando. Tell me what you're... Now, you are, right? You, apostrophe R-E. I like the contractions. It's the way we speak in real English. Tell me what you're thinking. Number three. No dijeron a dónde iban. They didn't say where they were going. A dónde iban. They didn't say where they were going. Number four. Ella estaba segura de que ganaría la apuesta. Es que ella estaba segura. Segura, Tino. She was sure that she would win the bet. Ganaría la apuesta. She would win the bet, la apuesta. She was sure that she would win the bet. Okay. So apostar dinero is to bet, jugar. You go to the casino to gamble. To gamble and then to bet. Yeah, jugar is more like gambling. Apostando, betting. You gamble, you bet on something. Put all my money on black. Right? Number five. ¿A dónde vas? Or as they say in Jaén, ¿a dónde va? ¿A dónde va? In the pueblos of Jaén. ¿A dónde va?
Estoy aquí.
Where are you going? Where are you going? Number six, ¿qué haces? What are you doing? Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? Number seven, ¿es esto lo que quieres? Is this what you want? Is this what you want? ¿Es esto lo que quieres? Oye, ¿es esto lo que quieres? Is this what you want? What you want? Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what you want, what you really, really want. What you want, right? Is this what you want? Estoy sorprendido por los resultados. Estoy sorprendido por los resultados. I'm surprised by the results. Surprised by. These are the little tricks, folks. The prepositions, right? I'm surprised by. In Spanish, you say por. Well, by. Okay, I guess that's by as well. But you don't say for or anything. For the results or with the results. Con los resultados. I'm surprised by the results. Nadie creía que terminarían tan pronto. Tan pronto. Nobody thought they would finish so soon. Tan pronto. So. So soon. Tan. So. Nobody thought they would finish so soon. So soon. Mm. It's important to know that tan is so, it's so soon. It's so hot. You say, it's so hot or it's so cold outside that I had to wear my coat. It was such a cold day that I had to wear my coat. So and such. People make a lot of mistakes with those. Nobody thought they would finish so soon. Forman un equipo fantástico. They make a fantastic team. Yeah. Forman un equipo fantástico. They make a fantastic team. Number 11. Number 11, Kyle, we normally only go to 10. I know, but I'm in a good mood today. I'm generous, right? I'm in a generous mood today. Trabajan bien juntos. Trabajan bien juntos. They work well together. Mm-hmm. Trabajan bien juntos. They work well. They work well together. They work well together. Finally, this is going to be our last one, folks. The last one. Se entienden a unos y los otros. Eso no tiene sentido, ¿verdad? Se entienden los unos a los otros. Eso es mucho mejor, ¿no? Así. Eso es. Se entienden los unos a los otros. They understand each other. Yeah, that's it, right? They understand each other. You know? Like Tino and I, we understand each other. He understands me. I understand him. We understand each other. Right? We understand each other. Okay. Se entienden los unos a los otros. They understand each other. Okay, we have a lot of action here on Twitter, everybody. We have like an explosion of life. on Twitter. People are responding to the Twitter translation. We had a sentence. It was a great one today. Salí con las manos vacías. Salí con las manos vacías was our sentence today, our Twitter translation. And so hopefully, you know, you'll get that. Anyway, later on, a little bit later on in the show, in the next half hour, we'll have a look at the responses to that.
Expression of the day.
All right, it's time for the expression of the day. The whole 9 yards. The whole 9 yards. Now, a yard. What do you say? Yardas? Yardas. Yardas. The whole 9 yards. So a yard is a distance. It's kind of like a meter. It's, I think, a little less than a meter. Or more than a meter. I don't know. But it's a, no, it's less. It's definitely, yeah, it's less than a meter. A yard. So to do the whole 9 yards, to go, okay, to go the whole 9 yards basically means to try your best at something, to do your best, to try your best at something. To do it like a tope, you know, the whole 9 yards, the full thing, all you can, all you can do. To go the whole 9 yards.
Muy bien, mi alma.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, to go all the way, right? And where does this come from, this expression? Well, during World War II, the fighter pilots were equipped with 9 yards of ammunition. So they had like a belt, you know, like a belt of bullets that was 9 yards. 9 yards of ammunition. When they ran out, right, quedarse sin, to run out of. When they ran out, it meant that they had tried their best at fighting off the target with the entirety of their ammunition. So they had shot everything. They had done their best. They had done the best they could. They had done the whole 9 yards. So it means like they used every resource. They went all the way. They did their best. They did the whole 9 yards. So that's a good expression. And this is an expression that every native English speaker knows. You know, sometimes if things are really obscure, then it's, you know, you don't want to invest your time in things that are obscure. It's very important with language learning that you invest your time with useful language, with useful expressions, useful terms, useful phrasal verbs, right? So many people make the mistake of treating, for example, the phrasal verbs, los verbos compuestos, with a similar importance, and say, okay, I'm going to learn 200 of them. And then they try to master all these phrasal verbs, and they don't really master any of them. They try to learn them, but they don't master them, to llegar a dominar, to master. So what you want to do is prioritize and say, okay, these ones are really useful. These 5 or 10 are useful. You learn those, you master them. And then you go adding a few more little by little, poco a poco. So it's so important to prioritize. But this is an expression that native speakers all know, the whole 9 yards, to do your best at something, to use all the resources and do your best at something. All right, we're going to go ahead now. We're going to move on, everybody. How about some news? How about some, we cannot do weird news. Tina says, no, 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 not today. He says, today, no, nothing weird. How about a bit of pronunciation? So we do some pronunciation. Okay, we have a minor technical failure with our computer, but that's okay, everybody. We're going to look at some weird news, everybody. How about some weird news? And this is a weird story that I found, that I discovered this afternoon. Now, it comes from Hong Kong, where a potato chip factory. Of course, when you're making potato chips, you need, of course, a lot of potatoes, right? Claro, of course. So a Hong Kong potato chip factory was collecting potatoes. Then they had the potatoes going into their machine, and it seems they found a grenade, una granada. A grenade was found covered in mud on Saturday in a shipment of potatoes from France. Now, this is strange for a few reasons. First of all, I'm surprised that they would buy potatoes from France. Can't they grow their own potatoes in Hong Kong? I don't know. So Hong Kong police destroyed a German-made grenade. Una granada. From World War I on Saturday morning after the device was found in a shipment of imported potatoes at a local potato chip factory.
El que no ha visto granada, no ha visto nada.
Yeah, but a different type of granada. Hombre, very different. The grenade was described as having been caked with mud and dirt, so covered in mud and dirt, and was discovered by workers at a factory run by a Japanese snack maker called Calbee. Now, police said they used a high pressure water firing technique to safely detonate the weapon. The grenade was imported from France together with other potatoes. Together with potatoes, right? So a military historian told the local newspaper that the grenade had likely been dug up by accident by potato harvesters in France. Well, I could have told you that. You don't need to call a military historian, right? They were digging potatoes in the field in France, and they pulled up a grenade. He says if it was covered in mud, then the grenade was likely to have been left behind, dropped by soldiers there during the war, or left there after it was thrown by enemies. Por los enemigos. All right. Well, that makes sense. But imagine, you know, the First World War, that was 100 years ago. So this thing was sitting in the ground undetonated for 100 years. And then these potato farmers come along. We're just picking some potatoes. Pull up a grenade. Put it in the box. Ship it to Hong Kong. It's a good thing they found it, right? Imagine if it had gone into the chip maker, the potato chip maker. You know, blown up the whole, machine or the factory. Who knows? All right. Anyway, let's move on, everybody. Let's have a look at today's pronunciation.
How are you?
No, how are you?
I'm very excited.
I'm very excited. Not very, I'm very excited.
Would you like to go?
No, you have to say, would you like to go?
Pronunciation.
Yes, it's time for pronunciation. We're going to practice depende de. Now, this is also a common mistake, right? People say, it's depend. No, it depends. It depends on. It depends on. It depends on. But we link the words together. Enlazando palabras, right? Linking the word. It depends on the weather. Depende del tiempo. It depends on the weather. Depende de mi jefe. It depends on my boss. It depends on my boss. Depende de lo que dicen. Yeah, it depends on what they say. It depends on, depende de los tipos de interés. It depends on the interest rates. Depende de su nivel. It depends on their level. De su nivel. It depends on their level. Depende de cuánto quieres gastar. It depends on how much you want to spend. It depends on, it depends on, it depends on, it depends on. Depende de la zona. Bueno, es que depende de la zona. ¿Cuánto pagas? Whatever. Depende de la zona. It depends on the area. It depends on. So if you make this mistake, then what you want to do is write down a big list. And you could just force yourself to say it over and over again. It depends on you. It depends on me. It depends on the boss. It depends on the weather. It depends on who you ask. It depends on who you know. It depends on my brother. It depends on my uncle. It depends on the taxes. It depends on him. It depends on her. Un sinfín de ejemplos. Right? You can do it all day long. And if you say it enough times, the correct form will come right. The correct form will be cemented into your brain, into your subconscious. and then you'll never make the mistake again. It depends on you to do it right. Yes. Okay. All right, so there you go, folks. It depends on linking together. It depends on. It depends on. Zon. It depends on. We link the S onto the O of aw. It's zon. It depends on. All right? Link in the words. That's what we do. It's the way we like it. Okay. I'm going to take a short break, everybody, and then we're going to come back. In the second half hour, we're going to look at the responses to the Twitter translation. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés salí con las manos vacías? Ooh, ¿cómo puede ser? What could it be? Write in on Twitter. We'll talk about that and much more after the break, so don't touch that dial.
Gracias, Pedro.
To Vaughn Radio. You're listening to Vaughn Radio.
¿Tienes niños? Pues, ¿qué mejor forma que aprendan inglés que haciendo lo que más les gusta? En nuestros campamentos de verano en inglés se divertirán participando en un sinfín de variadísimas actividades en un entorno seguro y 100% angloparlante, acompañados en todo momento de monitores Vaughan. Campamentos de verano para niños. No abandones tu inglés.
Las plazas vuelan, así que llama ya al 91-133-5832. 91-133-5832.
En inglés solo existe una palabra que contiene cinco vocales consecutivas. ¿Sabes cuál es? Te damos la respuesta en dos minutos.
EMEP, un programa en inglés para ejecutivos y profesionales de alto rendimiento a tiempo parcial durante 5 meses. Este es tu máster. Infórmate llamando al 91-133-5833. Y recuerda, también disponible en Valencia y Barcelona.
Elena, Elena, pásame...
The white coat.
Eso, oye, Frank, pásame...
Eso es un Bunsen burner.
¡Está encendido!
Ya verás la que lían estos trastos. Estamos preparando todo para tener listo el próximo Science Weekend Camp, donde tus hijos se divertirán a la vez que aprenderán mucho, mucho, mucho inglés, sin darse cuenta. Y tranquilos, el único peligro son estos tres, y se quedan en casa. Las plazas vuelan, así que llama ya al 91-133-5832 o campamentosvaughan.com. 91-133-5832.
Os esperamos a todos en el Science Weekend Camp.
I started to learn English when I was very, very young. My tip for somebody who's learning English is be brave and don't be afraid of exaggerating an accent. You're free to go anywhere you want.
Be like Marta. Be like them.
Descubre más en grupovaughan.com.
La palabra del inglés que contiene cinco vocales consecutivas es...
queuing.
Haciendo cola. Se escribe Q-U-E-U-E-I-N-G, pero se pronuncia...
queuing.
Y viene de maravilla para trolear cuando juegues al ahorcado.
¿Alguna vez has pensado en todo lo que puedes llegar a conseguir? Alcanzar todas tus metas, todas las oportunidades laborales al alcance de tu mano. EMEP, un programa en inglés para ejecutivos y profesionales de alto rendimiento a tiempo parcial durante 5 meses. Este es tu máster. Infórmate llamando al 91-133-5833. Y recuerda, también disponible en Valencia y Barcelona.
Fíñanciate hasta el 100% del coste y págalo cómodamente hasta en 24 meses. Puedes ver las condiciones de financiación en el apartado de máster en grupovaughan.com.
Tu máster de inglés profesional con una oferta inigualable. Consulta condiciones en grupovaughan.com o llamando al 91-133-5833. ¿Todavía no has hecho tu prueba de nivel? Infórmate sin compromiso. 91-133-5833. Consulta también el Executive Master en inglés profesional disponible en Valencia, Barcelona y Madrid.
You're listening.
Esto lo que oyes.
To Vaughn Radio.
You're listening to Vaughn Radio.
El Máster en Inglés Profesional te ofrece este programa.
The day.
It's time for our paragraph of the day, everybody, in case you missed it, in case you didn't hear the jingle. Paragraph of the day. Learning a foreign language with a teacher is like learning to fly with a flight simulator. You'll never break the final barrier of communication until you've experienced real-life situations where your command of the language can influence the success or failure of your endeavor. In a flight simulator, if you crash, you don't die. In real communication situations, if you crash, you're splattered over a 300-meter radius. 1 hour of real communication in a foreign language is worth 30 hours of class. Aprender una lengua extranjera con un profesor es como aprender a volar con un simulador de vuelo. Learning a foreign language with a teacher is like learning to fly with a flight simulator. You'll never break the final barrier of communication until you've experienced real-life situations. Nunca romperás la barrera final de la comunicación hasta que no tengas situaciones reales where your command of the language can influence the success or failure of your endeavor, donde tu dominio de la lengua puede influir en el éxito o fracaso de tu esfuerzo. Right? Where your command of the language can influence the success or failure of your endeavor. In a flight simulator, if you crash, you don't die. En un simulador de vuelo, in a flight simulator, you don't die. Right? Si te estrellas, no te mueres. In real communication situations, if you crash, you're splattered over a 300-meter radius. En situaciones reales de comunicación, real de la vida, si te estrellas, tus restos quedan salpicados en un radio de más de 300 metros. Whoa! You're splattered over a 300-meter radius. 1 hour, una hora de comunicación real en una lengua extranjera, equivale a 30 horas de clase. 1 hour of real communication in a foreign language is worth 30 hours of class. Vale 30 horas de clase, Tino. 30 horas. 1 hour. Okay. I think this is accurate. I don't know about that 30 to 1 exactly. But I think it is very true that there is no substitution to real life. I don't always speak like this, believe it or not. If I'm talking to my brother, I probably speak a little bit faster than I do now on the radio. I speak a little bit, maybe I link the words together a little bit more. So you have to learn the real English. If you're sitting with a teacher in class, you're kind of at 80%. You're not at full speed. It's that extra 20 that is very tough to get. And it's very tough if you watch movies in English. It's very difficult to follow a movie in English, right? Because you have real speech, you have people talking over top of each other. It's like me when I watch Spanish TV. If I watch those shows where there's a, you know, five guys yelling about football at the same time. You know those shows? They're like, no, es que Ronaldo. And one guy and another guy, no. And they're all yelling at the same time. And it's, I don't understand anything. No entiendo nada. Now that's sort of, that's like beyond real life, though. That's even more difficult than real life. But in real life, yeah, you have to fine tune your ear and you have to practice. You have to get out there and speak. It's the only way. All right. So I'm going to read this one more time in English. Full speed. Okay. So we know the sentence. We know the paragraph now. So I'm going to read it again. Learning a foreign language with a teacher is like learning to fly with a flight simulator. You'll never break the final barrier to communication until you've experienced real life situations where your command of the language can influence the success or failure of your endeavor. In a flight simulator, if you crash, you don't die. In real communication situations, if you crash, you're splattered over a 300-meter radius. 1 hour of real communication in a foreign language is worth 30 hours of class. Interesting. There you go. Okay, so that was, ladies and gentlemen, that was our paragraph of the day.
We have pizzas, we have 300 hamburgers, many, many french fries, all of our favorite foods.
Yes, Big Don himself, talking about fast food. Many french fries. Muchísimas patatas fritas tenemos aquí. We have hamburgers. What do you say? We have pizzas, we have hamburgers, many french fries. All of our favorite foods. I want to talk about fast food, everybody.
El bienestar, la alegría.
Ya sabes, I want to talk about fast food. La hamburguesa. Hamburger. Actually, I'm going to tell you about fast food, then I'm going to tell you about an idea that I have. Una idea mía. And people can tell me on Twitter if they think it's a good idea or a bad idea. Okay, hamburguesa, hamburger. Hombre, yeah, you got to know this one, right? Hamburguesa de pollo, chicken burger. Perrito caliente, hot dog. You know these things, right? Bocadillo. We just say a sandwich. Bocadillo, sandwich. But it's a specific type of sandwich. It's kind of like a sub. I guess the thing we would say In English, would be, the best way to say a bocadillo would be really like a sub, which is short for submarine sandwich, because it's shaped like a submarine, which is why the restaurant Subway is called Subway. It's a play, es un juego de palabras with Subway for el metro, but Subway, like the way of getting the sub. Sub is a submarine sandwich. And I remember getting subs when I was in school, when I was young, when I was about 8 years old, there was a deli in my hometown of Liverpool, Nova Scotia, Canada. There was a little deli called McPherson's Deli. And it was run by a guy named Horace McPherson. And Horace McPherson was like the local, he grew an empire. He started with this little deli. And then he started to sell other things, and he started like a convenience store. And then he moved into a newer building, a bigger building, and started renting out movies and selling T-shirts and selling electronics and selling other things. And then he got even bigger. He added a gas station, right? And then he added restaurants, and he had like little other things. But he kept growing the business, and he's still, to this day, a very profitable, I assume profitable, but quite a significant business in my hometown. But he used to have, it started out, it was a deli, and he used to have these submarine sandwiches, these subs. And he would go to the school, or they would reach some agreement with the school, something that I'm sure could never happen today, but where we'd have sub day. And we got a piece of paper. And the piece of paper said, it had like the different varieties of subs. And your mother, because I was like 8 years old. Tino's eating his own bocadillo right now. His own sub. But you would choose what sub you want. Oh, do you want roast beef? Do you want tuna? Do you want cold cuts, Italian? And my favorite was the cold cuts sub. When they said cold cuts, which was cold cut meat. Basically, it was a layer of ham, probably some salami. I think there'd be mayonnaise in there. And I loved it. Exactly. Pimienta, you name it. It was in that sub. Anyway, so bocadillo, sub. So Subway. Okay. Anyway, McPherson's. A little shout out to McPherson's Deli there. They didn't pay me anything. But if you're in Liverpool, Nova Scotia, go get a sub from McPherson's Deli. It's pretty good. Okay. Now, to me, if we're talking about fast food, this is something I consider myself, you know, there are a lot of things I don't know about. If you say, Kyle, what's the recipe for, you know, callos? I don't know. But you want to know something about fast food? I know it. I know it, right? I'm in my element here. I can talk about this. Fast food to me is a restaurant that does not have a waiter. Okay? If you go to TGI Fridays, for me, that's not fast food. It's a hamburger, but it's not fast food because it has a waiter. That's a key element. Fast food should have like a tray, una bandeja, you know? So you get your hamburger. They give you a soft room refresco, which is a soft drink. But in America, they often say soda. Depends on what region you're in, soda or soda pop. If you're down in the South, in Texas, I think they say soda pop. If you're in New York, they say soda. If you're in Canada, they just say pop. What kind of pop do you want? Pepsi, Coke, Sprite, orange, root beer, whatever. La servilleta de papel, paper napkin. Y la bandeja, tray. So real fast food is typically served with a tray. Una bandeja, right? La pizza. Pizza, pizza. Be careful, we don't say pick. It drives me crazy if people say pizza, pizza. Vamos por una pizza. No, pizza. Even in Spanish, right? Pizza. Because it's an Italian word. It's not a Spanish. Anyway, pizza, pizza. Pizza, pizza, daddy-o. All right, la pizzeria. Pizza parlor. Or the pizza parlor or pizza joint. You can say a pizza joint. Ah, there's a pizza. Like a New York pizza joint. Joint is like a little restaurante del barrio. Pizza joint, pizza place. Okay, and you have the straw, the pajita straw. And you have the, let's see, so you're going to have it to go, para llevar, or to eat in. You're having that to go or to eat in or take out or to go. The British say take away. Americans say take out. So there you have it. Now, and you also have the street food, the puesto callejero, or street food, which is becoming, everybody knows this, oh, street food is becoming very popular, right? Even in Spain, street food. Food trucks, kind of hipstery type thing. But anyway, there you go. There you go, folks. So I'll tell you about my idea. I'll see what you think. I don't know if I told you about this, Tino, or not. But I think with the advent of so many burger restaurants in Madrid. There are so many burger places, right, Tino, in Madrid to get a decent burger nowadays, hoy en día. But when I first came to Spain, there weren't that many, you know, there was classic Spanish burger places, but there weren't that many like gourmet burger. There has now been this boom of burgers. I don't know how many of these will survive. But I like a good hamburger. In fact, I love a hamburger, and I consider myself a connoisseur of the hamburger. If it's done well, it can be one of the most delicious meals. It can be very, very good, right, when it's done well. So I was thinking, Tino, what do you think of this idea? The problem is I need some resources to do it, but I was thinking about starting a website or a blog, video blog, to do reviews of hamburgers in Madrid. And I was thinking I could call it El Hamburguru or El Hamburguiri. El Hamburguiri, yeah. Right? So you have the Hamburguiri shows up. He eats the burger and he gives a review, right? I give a una puntuación de uno a diez. I say, okay, this is a 6.5, right? And I do the review. I talk about the burger. Because I think it would be good to have a website where you could go and all of the burgers were ranked. Un ranking, right? A score, puntuación, comments. And I mean, I could do the videos in English as well. Then it could be kind of an English learning, burger learning platform. I don't know. It's a good project. I think it would be a fun project. But the problem is I need someone to film it. And I need to edit. And I'm not good at editing videos, believe it or not. So I would need someone to help me with that. But so anyway, if someone wants to film videos of burger reviews, let me know. But I think it'd be a fun idea, but we need some resources. Maybe I need like a media. I don't know if Vaughn is the right outlet for this, but maybe someone would like to, 20 Minutos or something would do it. Maybe I'd talk to like 20 Minutos or one of those newspapers and say, hey, I got this idea. Will you support me here and film these things and edit these things? And we could start El Hamburguru, the definitive source for hamburger reviews in Madrid. I think it's a good idea. Anyway, little by little, but yes, burgers. I consider myself passionate about burgers. One thing I did at home, when I was back in Canada, was I cooked a burger. Or my family, we cooked burgers over the fire, over a wood fire. It's very nice. Over an open flame. And it's delicious that way. Right over the open flame. Mm. Anyway, all right, folks, it is time to move on. But that's our vocabulary, everybody. A little bit of fast food vocabulary.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ignition.
Drive time. Top 5. All right, everybody, it's time for the top five countries with the largest forest areas. Yes, vamos al bosque. We're going to the forest. Doesn't that sound nice? It's just... Kyle, just be quiet for a minute, Kyle. Silencio un momento, Kyle, por favor, because estoy disfrutando del bosque.
Lago negro, lago blanco.
There you go. It sounds nice, isn't it? It's nice. We're in the forest. We're in, as we say in Canada, the woods. I'm in the woods. All right. So top five countries with the most forest. All right. Number five is China. So they've got a lot of space, and believe it or not, they haven't cut down all the trees yet. They have about 2 million square kilometers of forest still in China. 2 million square kilometers. That's a lot of forest. And number four is the United States with 3.1 million square kilometers of forest. I'm kind of enjoying this. It's like Simon and Garfunkel have the song, The Sound of Silence. It's kind of nice, enjoying that forest background. Canada, hey, my homeland, is number three. About 3.5 million square kilometers of forest. That's a lot of forest, everybody. It's an awful lot of forest. And Brazil has almost 5 million square kilometers. But number one, the country with the most forest, can you guess it, Tino? Russia. Yeah, right? It's a big one, and they just haven't, you know, and it goes so far north that it's cold, and so they haven't cut it all down. There's a lot of forest. They still have over 8.1 million square kilometers of forest. So a lot of trees, which is great because it produces a lot of oxygen and is sort of like the lungs for the world, these breathing forests, if you will. But yeah, in Canada, about 3.5 million square kilometers of forest, and the indigenous people. So the indigenous, like the first, we often say the First Nations people. You could say the Indians, but we don't really say that anymore. The Inuit, which is a word for the Eskimo, the Inuit. The Métis and the First Nations people inhabited the country thousands of years before the European settlers came, right? Thousands of years, long time before Columbus, they were there. And the name of the country comes from an indigenous language. And the word was Kanata, C-A-N-A-T-A, Kanata. And there's actually a town outside of Ottawa called Kanata, Kanata, Ontario, outside of Ottawa. But Kanata with a K, K-A-N-A-T-A, which means land or settlement. As well as sprawling forests and mountains. There are 2 million lakes that hold most of the planet's fresh water. 2 million lakes. Holy cow. Canada also has more than 200 different types of mammals, including the silver-haired bat, Canadian lynx, and the North American beaver, which is one of the official symbols of Canada, the beaver, El Castor, which appears on the Canadian 5-cent coin. Right? The 5-cent coin is called a nickel. And this is true in the United States as well. 5 cents is a nickel. 10 cents is a dime. Se scrive como dime, dime, dime. And the dime has in Canada, the dime has a boat on it called the Blue Nose, which is a schooner, which is a type of sailboat, a famous sailboat, famous for winning a lot of races, right? The Blue Nose. And the 25-cent coin has a caribou on it. Which is like a big caribou, which is like a big, kind of like a moose almost. And then the $1 coin has a loon, an animal called a loon, L-O-O-N, which is kind of like a duck. But they're big. In fact, we have a loon. Do we have our loon sound, Tino? That was a long time ago when we had the loon. Remember we played the loon sound, el sonido de la pata esa. The loon. Loon, which was, pato. Bueno, casi, it's almost like a duck, but it's different. But it was the day we had the Canadian ambassador on the show, and we had the loon and calling out over the lake. Very nice sound. So the loon is on the Canadian $1 coin, and so the Canadian $1 coin is called, a loonie. The slang term is a loonie. The Canadian $1 coin. And the $2 coin has a polar bear on it. Oso polar. A polar bear. But the Canadian $1 coin is the slang, jerga, slang term for that coin, is a toonie. Just because it rhymes with loony. A loony and a toonie. It's worth two. $2. $2. A toonie. All right. So there you go. Now, other countries in the top 10 include the Congo, Australia, Indonesia, Peru, and India in the top 10. But number one, yeah, Russia with over 8 million. My gosh, over 8 million square kilometers of forest. All right, we just have a minute left, but I want to take a look at your responses to the Twitter translation. Salí con las manos vacías. That was the sentence. Eric writes in and says, I went out. Okay. I went out, or I came out, or I left. those would all be correct. It depends on how you, yeah, it depends on, it just depends. You know, if you're inside, if I'm sitting here and if I see someone exiting, I'd say he's going out. If I'm outside and I see someone exiting, I'd say he's coming out. Depends on the origin of the speaker. The orientation, I should say, of the speaker. Saeed said, I left empty-handed. So that's what I was looking for. Con las manos vacías, empty-handed. We have G. Galón. I left empty-handed. Juanra, I left empty-handed. Nacho. Javi. I got out empty-handed. I left empty-handed, says Eric. Iriza. I left empty-handed. Lots of people. Anz is there. Correct. I left empty-handed. Adelmadi. We've got, let's see who else. We have a few more seconds. But yes, lots of people writing in. I came out, Catalina, good. Or I left empty-handed. Con las manos vacías. That's the correct answer. I got to take a break, everybody, but I'll be back in just a few minutes with the third and final half hour of the Drive Time Show. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
A ver si eres capaz de decirnos cuál es la única palabra de 5 letras en inglés en la que 4 de sus letras son totalmente mudas y solo se pronuncia la primera letra. Tienes 2 minutos para pensarlo.
Descubre nuestros cursos trimestrales, la mejor forma de interiorizar los conceptos clave del inglés, con los mejores profesores que te enseñarán paso a paso sus secretos. El inglés como a ti te gusta. Llámanos e infórmate sin compromiso al 91-133-5833.
Dale un empujón a tu carrera profesional. Apúntate al Executive Master en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan. Aprenderás a negociar, a hacer presentaciones y a controlar cualquier situación profesional en inglés. Apúntate ya llamando al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Tu máster de inglés profesional con una oferta inigualable. Consulta condiciones en grupovaughan.com o llamando al 911-335-833. ¿Todavía no has hecho tu prueba de nivel? Infórmate sin compromiso. 911-335-833. Consulta también el Executive Master en inglés profesional disponible en Valencia, Barcelona y Madrid.
No importa lo que hayas estudiado, no importa a qué te quieras dedicar. Hagas lo que hagas, vas a necesitar el inglés. Haz un máster que realmente merezca la pena. Haz el máster en inglés profesional de Vaughan. Más información en el 911-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com. Máster en inglés profesional.
Además, ahora financiate hasta el 100% del coste y págalo cómodamente hasta en 24 meses. Puedes ver las condiciones de financiación en el apartado de máster en grupovaughan.com.
Bienvenido al curso para aprender inglés mientras duerme. Durante los próximos días voy a acompañarle en sus sueños con hipnosis pedagógica y usted hablará inglés en 5 días. Garantizado. Ahora busque un lugar cómodo, túmbese con los pies en alto, cierre los ojos y relájese. Relax, relax.
Que no te cuenten cuentos. No existen los milagros para aprender inglés mientras duermes, por mucho que te guste la idea. Pero con nuestros cursos trimestrales puedes mejorarlo en solo 3 meses. Los cursos trimestrales de Vaughan son ideales para gente que necesita resultados a medio plazo y a un precio asequible. Descúbrelos llamando al 911-335-833 o en grupovaughan.com.
La única palabra de 5 letras en inglés en la que 4 de sus letras son totalmente mudas y solo se pronuncia la primera letra es...
Q.
Cola o fila. Se escribe Q-U-E-U-E, pero solo pronunciamos la letra Q.
Q.
Hello, good morning. A las 7:30, haz las mañanas más productivas. Más radio, más Vaughan, mucho más Richard Vaughan Live.
Estamos preparando todo para tener listo el próximo Science Weekend Camp, donde tus hijos se divertirán a la vez que aprenderán mucho, mucho, mucho inglés, sin darse cuenta. Las plazas vuelan, así que llama ya al 91-133-5832 o campamentosvaughan.com, 91-133-5832.
Os esperamos a todos en el Science Weekend Camp.
Emprender y liderar, las claves del éxito. Entra ahora en grupovaughan.com/seminario.
You're listening.
Estás escuchando
Vaughn Radio.
Lo que escuchas
to Vaughn Radio.
El máster en inglés profesional te ofrece este programa.